Right now it is time for Food for Mood with Judy Wortman. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet on the web, serotoninpowerdiet.com. Also, Simon Loses His Tummy, the Kindle edition, and her latest book is Before Her Voice Was Still. We welcome her in. I don't see a glass of coconut juice by her side.
It's not juice. It's coconut water, right?
Water.
Right. Good morning. And I tried to open a coconut to see whether I could get the juice inside. I think I gave up after about an hour and a half of using every tool I had in the house.
Well, now they sell these coconuts that are pre-peeled.
It's just stop, it's, everybody.
Which is ludicrous.
Okay, you're scaring me. The whole thing. It's like, hello, everybody. This is the ground. This is the sky.
You know, if you're on an island and you don't have anything to eat,
Tom Hanks and you're in Castaway, then definitely try to open up the coconut. But he had trouble too.
That's true.
Just have an almond joy.
Have you ever? By the way, have you ever been on an island? Or does everybody remember the first time they saw someone try to open a coconut? Unless it was someone who lived there, which is the most efficient thing in the world.
Exactly, but. I'm not sure how good they are at knitting or something like that.
We all have as we were brought up, we all have different abilities. Let's not try to make them the same.
Anyway, one of my inabilities or disabilities or what have you is the ability to fast, and that's why I was so sort of excited to read a study that came out just last week indicating that if you are thinking of a program called intermittent fasting as the most efficient and effective way of losing weight, you can think again. This has become apparently one of the most popular ways of losing weight over the last year or so. And the program or the regimen is such you eat what you want on one day, and then you fast, having perhaps nothing but, water or a broth, maybe from vegetables, but simply the broth or bones that have been cooked for a very long time. But you don't eat anything. And the idea is that on your fast days, your body somehow metabolism is ramped up so it just burns up a lot more calories than it would just simply by eating less that day. And then if you eat moderately the next day, you should be able to lose weight. And so therefore you have one day of total deprivation and one day of eating more or less normally, and you're going to lose much more weight than if you go on a regular diet. And again, it's been such a popular technique that even if people don't follow it, they talk about following it and pretend that they really are. Okay, so finally, a whole group of people, actually about two dozen of them, from the University of Bath in England, and as I wrote, that Bath is a place where Jane Austen, for all Jane Austen lovers, spent a good deal of her young adulthood. Anyway, people from the University of Bath did a really extensive study, which they compared weight loss, and not just weight loss, but where the weight was coming from in the body, from your fat cells or from your muscle mass. So they compared weight loss among one group of people who were put on the intermittent diet plan, intermittent fasting plan, so they didn't eat on one day and they ate normally on another. And another group, a control group, was given the same number of calories over 2 days. So the first group ate zero, let's say, calories on one day, and they ate about 150% of their calorie intake the next day. But if you average it each day of the week, they were eating about 75% of the calories they needed, or let's say 25% fewer calories than they really needed. The other group, every single day, ate only 25% fewer of the calories they needed. That was the control group. And another group fasted on one day, but then they ate plenty on the next day, so they had no deficit at all. They just, were eating normally. Okay, so if you look at the results, the people who ate normally didn't lose any weight. No surprise there. The people who were fasting did lose weight. The people who were eating fewer calories every day did lose weight. That group, the people who ate fewer calories every day, actually lost more weight. But the most interesting thing about that study was where the weight came from. So if you're on a diet, what you really want to do is lose weight from your fat stores. You want your hips to go down, your stomach to go down, that little lump of fat under your chin disappear, etc. What happened for the people who were fasting is that half their weight loss came from fat, but the other half came from muscle. which is not what you don't want. Whereas the group who were just eating less every day, all of their weight loss came from fat. And that was a startling result. Nobody really expected that. Again, I suppose it makes sense because when you're fasting, your body's going to grab calories from wherever it can find them, and it actually can take muscle, break it down to the amino acids that make up the muscle protein, turn those amino acids into glucose by, you know, various chemical reactions, and use that for energy. And so the conclusion is you can fast and lose weight, and you can get on the scale, and it will show that you've lost weight. Put on your clothes. They will be loose on you. But if somebody does a test of your body composition, they're going to find out that your weight loss is not coming from that those parts of the body that you can afford to lose weight in. I mean, if you lose muscle mass, it makes it harder to exercise. You end up burning fewer calories because muscle burns about 6 calories per gram and fat 1 calorie. And you may even, if you lose enough muscle mass, be vulnerable to something like osteoporosis. I doubt, Jill, this is going to change anybody's perception because people who want, you know, do what they want to do. But I think it really shows that a good, carefully constructed study can finally put some facts underneath the, quote, I believe this is really good for me kind of myth that we all seem to be dealing with.
You know, I'm going to step in here a second because with what I've been doing, which is not eating processed food, but eating a balanced diet of vegetables, protein, and yes, fat. There's fat is included in that.
Sure.
But keeping it's just like the checking account thing. I know that a man burns 11 calories a pound. Okay.
Right.
So if I want to be 200 pounds, I want to burn somewhere around 2,000 to 2,100 calories a day, or intake 2,000 or 2,100 calories a day. And then by just moving around and not even exercising, you're still going to be below that. So I've managed to keep, over the past 14 months, my calories to anywhere between 1,500 and 2,000 calories a day. And is it fast? No. Six and a half pounds a month. But has it worked and has it changed my total look at the way I eat and how much I eat? Yes.
Has it changed your metabolism? Yes.
It's changed my metabolism. But if I were to fast and lose that weight, I'd be right back out to eating like I was.
Yeah, but that's the other thing that nobody ever talks about on these intermittent fast day diets. That is, fasting is not a very pleasant experience. I mean, maybe you are if you're a mystic and you're sitting, you know, in your loincloths on top of a mountain for 40 days. But the point is you get headaches, you feel you can be dehydrated, you feel drowsy, you're tired, it probably is hard to exercise, you can be depressed. Apparently insomnia is one of the side effects. I mean, fasting is not a natural condition. It is a catastrophic condition. You know, people, both under natural and political disasters, are forced into situations where they are in a famine or a fasting state. But to put yourself willingly in that situation is just goes against your nature. You know, nature did not intend for people, animals and humans, to deprive themselves totally of calories.
And here's what the bottom line is. It has been proven medically, it's been proven everything, that if you fast, your body then prepares when you start to eating. It starts to prepare to take in more calories and hold on to them so
exactly.
it can protect itself the next time it doesn't have any food.
Yeah, exactly.
But
you know, again, Marshall, it takes a study for people to believe that.
Yeah, and it also, back to my, apparently today's theme is common sense. Because, you know, a dog can miss a meal, a person can miss a meal. You know, it's fine. It's what has happened is that the whole rhythm of eating for nourishment has been so totally distorted over the years. Here's something in a box. Here, this is good for you. If you want to go animal on this, cats, big cats, little cats. Kids, cats that climb on rocks. Those cats in the wild, you will find, do not stop and eat a lot of kibble.
No.
Because you can't get enough water. So what I'm saying is, we feed our cats kibble, and it's more convenient in a lot of cases. But cats don't drink the way that dogs do. So they get their a lot of their water or intake from the
food,
what they're eating. So it's just something like that. Now, who would stop to think about that? Who? You're busy. And it's that kind of thing that has happened to our food along the way that's certainly part of the problem.
No, you're absolutely right. Well, I have no high hopes that just because this study came out and was publicized, among the scientific community, that this is really going to change anything if people want to do it. And I think that people fast because they feel good about depriving themselves of something they feel is a form of self-discipline. But I really wonder how many of them exert self-discipline the day they're able to eat. I mean, it's so easy to fool yourself into thinking, well, I'll eat a little more because, I didn't eat anything yesterday. And so I really deserve to eat a little more today. And I'm sure that is something that happens and is certainly not going to contribute to any easy weight loss. Anyway,
but
I'm glad
still,
we sort of can perhaps close the book on that particular weight loss regimen. Anybody wants to do it, let them read the article and tell them, and they'll find out why they shouldn't be.
And thank
okay, talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.